Blog Talk Radio.
Too much salt can drive up blood pressure and increase risk for stroke and heart disease, two leading causes of death in the U.S. Most Americans eat more than double the amount of salt recommended by experts. It can come from places other than the salt shaker, in canned goods like soup and packaged foods like frozen dinners. It's also hiding in breads and cereals. Read food labels, enjoy more fresh fruits and vegetables, and look for low-sodium alternatives. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov. A message from CDC.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. And I'm on Instagram now, lots of cool pictures. If you tag me, you might be a winner. You guys know that follow me. I give away books, CDs, tickets to events, Starbucks gift cards, Bath and Body Works, the whole shebang. So if you follow me or become a fan on Facebook or tag me on Instagram, there's a good chance that you might win something. Well, I also want to say thank you so much for supporting the show. We're past 820,000 downloads. Wow, thank you so much. I really hope you have enjoyed the shows and learned something in the process. Well, today we hope to learn some more just about our lives and how we move through them and the things that we carry on our backs, so to speak. And these three women were carrying around weight. That's what was their baggage. And they worked to get rid of it. They wrote a book about their process called Weight Broke the Wagon. It's about three women who, you know, were dealing with weight gain at different points in their life and what they did. But not only what they did, but more of why they had gained the weight, I think, is really an important story. So let's see. This might be one of the authors on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, hi. This is Joy Keyes. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Gina Glenn, one of the authors of Weight Broke the Wagon. How are you this morning?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for calling in. Let me see if this is one of your other authors on the line here. Good morning. You're calling from 302?
Hi, Joy. This is Natasha.
Hi. Good morning. This is the second author. So happy to have both of you. Let's start with the title of this book, Weight Broke the Wagon. How did you come up with this title? Was it one person or all of you, or you heard something somewhere? I'll start with you, Natasha.
Well, it actually was my idea with the Weight Broke the Wagon, the title, and the concept of us coming together. We decided to join efforts in losing weight. Rayanne, who's not quite on the line with us yet, we hope that she'll be joining us this morning. But Rayanne was one of the first to actually get really, really serious about losing the weight. I had been working out after I had my third son, and being a little bit older, you know, being 39 and having a child 2 months later, I had been working out with Black Girls Run as well as, you know, making healthy choices, but the weight was coming off very slowly because I don't think that I was truly committing myself to the process. And then when Rayanne started losing her weight back in April, you know, Gina took notice, and then I took notice, and then we all decided to come together to do it collectively. And then from that point, as we were losing our weight, I said, let's, you know, come up with that. You know, it wasn't my idea. I don't take any credit for the titles that I come up with. It truly dropped in my spirit. It was like a whisper. Weight Broke the Wagon was this little whisper that I heard, and so that's where the title actually came from,
Inner Whisper. Let me tell them a little more about you. You also have a show on Blog Talk Radio called Table Talk with Tosh on Sunday nights from 7 to 9 p.m., and Tosh is also an author of several books, e-books, Men Cheat Women Experiment, and Only Fools Gamble Twice, and Reaching the Unreachable, and a children's book, The Adventures of Squally the Squirrel. So you want to check her out on blogtalkradio.com/tabletalkwithwtosh, and that's Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Let me go to Gina here. So this woman, Tosh, came to you and said, let's write a book. What was your first thought?
I said, let's do it. Actually, when she discussed it with me, I thought it was a great idea. It kind of dropped in my spirit for us to come together on something. I didn't know it would be a book. But when she came with me with the idea, I was like, yes, let's do it. So I was bored as soon as she mentioned it.
So I was reading the book, and Gina, for you, one of the things is that you grew up in a household and other women in the house were big too, so you didn't see anything different about yourself. Talk to the audience a little more about that issue. Did you hear me, Gina?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying you. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to call in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
I was asking about your family and how you grew up around other women who were large. So you really weren't thinking negatively about your weight when you were younger. Could you tell the audience just about that experience that happened with the teacher in school?
As I start off the book, I didn't really realize I had a weight problem until the sixth grade. I grew up in a household with my mother and my grandmother. And my grandmother was heavy and my mother was heavy as well. So to me, that was the norm. It wasn't until I was in the sixth grade, I'm sitting in class, and the teacher is going around the class collecting papers, and we're all kind of like talking and snacking, and she walks past my desk and she says, "That's why you're big as a house now." And the class begins to laugh, and I'm looking like, okay. And I was kind of hurt by it, but never really paid it too much of mine. And then all that day, that's all I can get out of my head. That's when I knew, okay, that it was something. That's when I started to look at my friends and realize I was different. I wasn't, you know, as thin as they were. I was heavier.
That's where it started. Teachers can be really cool. I know my daughter was in school, and I had to go actually to her middle school because there was a teacher, an African-American woman at that. I'm an African-American woman. My daughter's an African-American child. And then you got this teacher harassing a young child who was doing well in school. But it's weird how people's issues can, when they have a little power, can unfortunately, you know, hurt a child, you know, and really mess with their self-esteem. You know, it's a little bit of power.
It really did, because from that point I looked at everyone different. Because even when I went home and told my mom, and my mom wanted, like any mother, her first thing was, well, I'm going up there tomorrow. And then that's when I looked at her different. I didn't even want her to come. It's like, okay, well, now I don't want her to come up to the school, because if it's something wrong with me, then it's something wrong with her, then I don't want to be teased because my mother is heavy. So, you know, it made me start looking at my family much, much different.
It was an awakening, you know. Now, Natasha, one of the things you talk about is not just eating and losing weight, but why you were eating. And one of the things you bring up was the issue of depression. And you had to battle not only your weight, but you were battling a difficult or domestic violence situation. You want to tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yes, my situation was that I had just happened to my issue of depression. They stem. I just even realized even longer than what I had thought it was in the book, which was in the book I put in about 11 years. Initially, when I had my first child, she's now 11. 5 days at the time I was married to her father, and 5 days after I gave birth to her, her father told me that he wanted a divorce. And he stated it very calmly. He had been in the delivery room with me. I thought that we had had some issues, but never at that point did I think things were that bad that it was, I'm going to use a word that's not really a word, divorceable. And so for him to hit me with that, I felt that that was a calculated move. I think that was something that had been brewing inside of him for so long that he took the absolute worst time in anyone's life to hit them where, in my opinion, he hit me when I was down. And so I had to, you know, face having a home because he left. You know, we had a home together. I asked him, I said, how am I supposed to take care of the mortgage and electric, gas, phone, cable, and now a new baby and all the living expenses on top of that? And his exact words were, you need to take your fat, you know, A, back to work. And so there was, I think there were some jealousy issues there. And so I did. And thank God I never missed a mortgage payment. My daughter did not want for anything. And thankfully, she was a fat, healthy baby. So I'm still standing, in other words. And so, you know, one of the things that I try to get across to women is that, yes, while we all experience times in our lives where we may be down, you don't have to be out. And so we're big on promoting healthy mindsets, because when you are depressed, you know, one of the things that we all love to do, some people do it differently, but one of the things that I do is I find comfort in ice cream. And so, or potato chips or cheese. And so things that, you know, or, you know, and I've literally had, you know, open up a gallon of ice cream, gotten a, you know, bowl out, and then, and I'm not the only one. And it's like, because it just feels like a warm blanket, or that comfort. And so, you know, turning to food now is no longer optional for me. It's a thing where, okay, I have to take a walk. I have to get out there and feel that warm sun on my face, because that truly makes my inner soul feel, you know, feel better than the ice cream will.
I definitely,
and so that's one of the things that we promote.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about the whole food. I mean, I've heard that many a time, that food is not, you're not eating because you're hungry, you're eating because of other issues. One of the, it's kind of funny and sad at the same time, but Gina, in the book you were talking about not hanging out with skinny girls. Talk to us about that.
Let me just tell you how funny that is. It's because from that point, you don't want to stand out. Like I said, I started to look at everybody around me different. So if me and my mom was walking down the street, I would walk about 10 steps behind her so people wouldn't know we were together. Then I noticed that I started to hang around girls who looked like me. So smaller girls, I really didn't. I'm not saying that I didn't have friends that were thin. That's not what I'm saying. But like I said in the book, we may be friends, but we're not hanging out. Like, I'm not going to the dollar party with you or whatever we used to do in the 80s. Like, I'm not hanging with you.
Yeah.
But you know, you're my friend, but I'm not going to be seen with you, because if I be seen with you, then I'm going to stick out. So I started to hang around girls who had big thighs and big hips and big chests. You know, the same features that I had, so that I can feel much, much comfortable just in my own skin at the time, because that's where my self-esteem was. Not that it's the correct thing to do, but where my self-esteem was at the time. Realize this is sixth grade through ninth grade, that I was really in this mentality that I did not want to be seen with anybody who didn't look like me.
Well, I can understand that. I was very tall. I was always tall. I wasn't overweight, but I was tall when I was younger, and I was like, I felt so awkward, and I would have friends who would be a little small. I mean, same age, but because my parents, my mom is 5'11", my dad 6'5", I'm actually the short one. At 5'9", I'm the short one in the family, so it was really awkward. I can just understand relating to being out of the norm, you know what I mean, with your cohorts. It's difficult as an adolescent, because people pick on you about anything. You're light-skinned, you're dark-skinned, you wear glasses, walk funny, you don't have the latest shoes, you know, and that's a sensitive time in a human life. Well, adolescence, it's like, if something happens to you in adolescence, you usually remember that for, like, a long time, you know? Carry that with you, you know? So
I said to Natasha, writing the book, I said to Natasha, like she said, this was really therapy for all of us. Writing the book, I found myself crying. I found myself back in that classroom and actually shedding the tears that I didn't shed that day. You know, book at my 40s. So yes, you never forget. When I wrote it, it was very vivid. Very vivid.
I want to mention to the audience that African American women have the highest rates of being overweight or obese, according to the Office of Minority Health. Also, obesity can lead to other issues like type 2 diabetes. More than 80% of people with type 2 diabetes are overweight. People overweight also more likely to suffer with high blood pressure, high levels of blood fat, and LDL cholesterol. And in 2010, African-Americans were 70% less likely to engage in physical activities as opposed to non-Hispanic whites. Now, Natasha, one of the things you talk about is Black Girls Run. Can you tell the audience about Black Girls Run and what they do?
Well, can you hear me? I'm sorry, I took you off.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, one of the things that I did 6 weeks after I had my third child, which is, as I mentioned, I was 39, turning 40 2 months later. I used to run with Rayanne. We used to run on our lunch break, you know, years ago. And so it was nothing to run 5 miles and, you know, run from 6th Street or Penn's Landing all the way to, you know, 30th Street if you're in this area, and back or the bridge. So I had been running, you know, years ago. It was still in me. And then 6 weeks after I had my son, I had been looking online on Facebook and saw where Black Girls Run would have meet up in my area. So there was no excuse in terms of, okay, well, I don't have enough money because, you know, I don't want to spend money for a gym membership. Okay, well, it's too far. Well, they were, you know, virtually for my block. And so I was like, okay, there's really no excuse in terms of money or time, because they had all kinds of times, 7 a.m. meetups, 8 a.m., 6 a.m., you name it, they were meeting. Or if you couldn't run that time, we'll have a partner, you know, link up with you. So I decided to go out. It was a cold morning. I have the pictures to prove it. I can't believe I did it. But you know, I was very overweight. I was probably about 225 at that point. And I decided to bundle up the little baby, and we met up with the ladies, and we went out for a run. It was ice on the ground. I was freezing, but it was one of the best feelings that I have ever experienced in my entire life. I don't know how to describe it. I was telling someone recently, I wish I knew how to bottle up that feeling, and because I would be a millionaire if I could sell it. But it really is a great group of women. I was telling them that, you know, the name sometimes can intimidate people because it makes you think that you actually have to run. And so I was saying that they should even tell people that, you know, come on out and crawl, come on out and walk, come on out and jog, or crawl, you know, right, which is a combination of jogging and walking. But just get out there and move. Just walk. Just get out there and just move. And so it's really no excuse. I actually posted this on my page the other day, and it was a battle about that, about the obesity race that you mentioned. And, you know, a lot of women were getting very, very defensive, you know, saying that, well, some people can't afford, you know, these gym memberships. Well, then that's where Black Girls Run comes in. There's a chapter in every state, I would imagine, all women all over, and I love what they've done because it's gotten women to take a good, healthy notice as far as their health. And, you know, just getting out there and moving because, you know, unfortunately, you can look at the statistics, and some people don't believe those statistics that you just read. But when I did my own iView statistics and just walking downtown in any, you know, Detroit, Chicago, Compton, anywhere, Philadelphia, and you walk around and you look at women, just do a mental look of you, and you will see that 3 out of 4 are obese or overweight. And so for me, I am not at my optimal weight yet. It's not even about a look per se, but it's about how I want to feel. On Thanksgiving Day, I did meet up with Black Girls Run. I started reinvesting my time wisely. So I met up with the ladies, and I did my first 5K.
Oh, Tasha,
I'm
sorry, Tasha. Let me see if this is Rayanne. I just want to bring her in. I'm sorry. Hi, you're calling from 443 area code? Good morning. No, maybe that's not her. Okay, just want to listen. That's fine. Okay, I'm sorry, Josh. You were saying you did the 5K run?
Yes, on Thanksgiving Day, I was on Facebook, and they were saying, come on out, come on out. And I was like, well, I don't have anything to wear. And they were like, one girl was like, just go in this thing and get out the door. And by the time I had read it, I was already in the car. And I said, I'm in the car, and I went. And so I did my first 5K. I did a combination of walking and jogging. Well, yesterday, and this is only a week later, yesterday I ran for 2.5 miles nonstop. And so just that
awesome.
Fast, I saw where there's a difference in my endurance. And so it's just about getting out there to move. It's not trying to run a race to win and win a medal. That's great if it's your angle. But for me, it was winning just to be there and just to see it through for me. You know, that's what it was about for me.
Well, I want to applaud you. Yeah, I can hear that. Somehow it went in and out. But, you know, technology, got to love it. I want to applaud you for taking the time to, you know, share your story in the book form. It's an e-book people can download on Amazon. I'm going to be giving away a couple copies. Everybody, you guys need to follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, or tag me on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys, to win a copy. They have a website, Weight Broke the Wagon. They're also on Facebook, check them out, Weight Broke the Wagon on Facebook. Now, Natasha, you weren't a heavy when you were younger. You were skinny. And so talk to the audience about your eating habits when you were younger. Because you were not heavy when you were young.
No, I was always skinny, and I was always the child that ate my father under the table. You know, my mother would make a plate for him, you know, typical manly plate. And I was like, is that mine? And then she's like, oh, well, you can have it. And so, you know, everybody would get up from the dinner table, and I was the one saying, can I get seconds? So I ate like no tomorrow, you know, growing up. But the thing is, those bad eating habits really, truly came back to bite me later on in life because, you know, I just, you know, eat excessively. And then all of a sudden now the weight is, you know, is starting to pile on. So now my motto is moderation. You know, moderation is the key for me.
Now,
you know, we can have those things that we like, but just making sure it's moderation.
Right, definitely moderation. And a lot of times people work out and they say they're not losing weight, but they're not checking their diet. You have to do both. You have to exercise and you have to moderate what you're eating. You can't, you know, one or the other, you're not going to get the 100% of the, you know, the results that you want. And people sometimes say, well, I've been working out and it's not doing anything. Or I've been, you know, I'm not eating that much. I barely eat anything all throughout the day. But you're not working out. You know, you're not, you know, also alternating your workout is important. You know, maybe for, you know, a couple months you do this and run, and next couple months you, you know, do aerobics. You have to change up because your body gets comfortable with the routine. Gina, I want to talk to you about this issue that how weight brings unwanted sexual attention to women. Can you talk to the audience a little bit about your experience about that?
Well, you know, when you're heavier, you look a lot older. So, so, you know, because you're heavy, you're developed a lot more in areas that girls your age really aren't most times developed in. So you begin to look a lot older. So that does give unwanted attention. Luckily for me, I had my older sisters who were around me who, first and foremost, were like my bodyguards. So I never really had to really worry about anyone actually bothering me. My issue came with girls my age around the time of dating. So with the self-esteem level that came with being overweight, it was, well, then I have to do extra in order for him to pay me any attention. Because now it's like I don't feel pretty. So, okay, so if the pretty girl won't kiss, then if I kiss, he'll like me. You know,
right.
If the pretty girl won't dance with him in the corner, then I'll dance with him in the corner because then he'll like me. So it then begins to, you know, to make you promiscuous, even when you really don't have the desire. It's not that you want to be fresh. It's just that you want the same attention that your friends are getting, or you want to be noticed in a room. You want to be the girl that they notice as well. So for the heavyset child, then it seems as if you do those things that are just above and beyond just to be noticed. Like I said in the book, it wasn't until a little while later that I realized that I was okay the way I was and began to change my whole mentality in regards to how I looked at myself. But before that time, you know, I would do whatever I could just to have friends. If, you know, they wanted to come to my house and make my house the party house, my mom wasn't home, then, yeah, my house was the party house just so I can have people around me. So it does begin to not only change the way you think, but the way you act.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see if this is Rayanne here. You're calling from 609 area code. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Rayanne. How are you?
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. I'm so glad you joined us. I was like, please, you know, technology, work for us this morning. You know? I just want to let the audience know this is the third author of the book. She is also an entrepreneur in the direct sales market. She has a brokerage license with 5 links. You can check out her website. The information is on my podcast page. And she also is a consultant with Tracy Lynn Jewelry. Rayanne has a master's degree in criminal justice. Now, Rayanne, wow, you are the ladies. You know, you're like, you got a lot of guys going on, but some of the guys, they liked you being heavy, and they was, the guy was sabotaging your weight loss. Talk to the audience about that.
Well, I just think that was his insecurity, you know, as if to say, well, if she loses weight, then, you know, maybe someone else will want her. I really believe that because he you know, the one that sabotaged my weight was my husband. So you would think, you know, your husband would want to have that, you know, nice eye candy on his arm or what have you, but it was insecurity. But I didn't realize that's what it was. It instead of pointing the finger, you know, he should have pointed the thumb because that was his insecurity.
So what was the aha moment for you that you thought, okay, I need to start losing this weight? Could you share that with the audience?
Well, in my heart, like I say, I always chased after being healthy. And, you know, I went out and I got certified to be an aerobic instructor. And, you know, once you get married, you feel like, okay, I'm married, I'm happy, and then you just let yourself go. But that's not the way to go. You have to stick with yourself and, you know, still love yourself. Because once I got heavy, I didn't like myself. I didn't know who I was, you know, and I'm like, this is not me. So once I got to say, you know, this is it, people used to always say, you have a pretty smile. But at one point, I stopped smiling because it's not me. I didn't like who I was, so I just felt like this is the time to get back into you so you can find Rayanne again. So it all just came together.
I want to mention the issue of patterns. Many of you talk about maybe losing a little bit of weight and then going back, and some incident happens that kind of triggers. Let's talk about some of the triggers that, you know, you guys had. So, Gina, and when you started and stopped, what were some of the triggers that kind of caught you off guard and made you start eating again?
Gina,
you still there?
Oh.
No, Gina, I want to ask each of you to answer that. What were the triggers? So let's start with Gina. What's your trigger that made you start eating again or not trying to lose weight? She's not. Okay, Rayanne, do you want to answer that? I don't know if Gina can hear me.
Oh, okay. Well, because I'm an emotional eater, you know, it's like when things aren't going well, then, you know, I used to turn to comfort foods, you know, because it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm a little sad today or what have you, but I can always go out and buy those things that I really like, you know. And sometimes I remember ordering food that it's like, you're not even going to eat all this. Like, if I couldn't decide, then I would buy both, you know. So those are those things where, you know, maybe I'm miserable, but instead of bringing all this home, I'll eat this in the car and just bring this one home, you know. So it's that comfort. It's something that, yeah, it's instant comfort, but then
instant
later on you feel miserable. Yeah.
Pasha, how about you? What triggered you? Is it like a sad event or frustrated at not doing something well at work? What triggers you? What are your triggers?
Well, again, keep in mind that, you know, again, I go back to always having had, you know, been, that it was comfort food, definitely, but not a luxury. But I used to eat excessively, again, because I grew up that way. So for me, having a lot of food around is going to be a problem for me. So what I do, like I mentioned before, I still indulge, but just moderation. What the triggers are is, of course, depression. I was facing a situation all last week. Now it's been about 3 weeks where it's been a depressive kind of atmosphere for me internally.
Right.
That I've been, you know, things I've been battling. Like I mentioned earlier, I thought I was depressed about some things that happened 11 years ago, but then come to find out there were some other issues that I was dealing with that happened 25 years ago. So this time, the triggers are definitely depression. It's just now, how do we handle them? Thankfully, Rayanne has been gracious enough to work out again with me again. And so having an accountability partner, someone that's saying, come on, girl, what you doing? Let's go. And so now the depression would still be there because we cannot run from our issues and problems. That's going to always be there. So you're going to always have those triggers. It's just now, what do you do with the time that you would typically eat the whole cake anime or you know, the Chinese food that Rayanne mentioned. But now, okay, well, let me go upstairs in that gym and bust that that treadmill up and beat it down and put my frustrations and things out on that. Because, or take it out on that. Because, again, those triggers will always be there. You know, you can sit up there and say, oh, it's been 25 years. I should be over this now. Well, you're never going to be over it. You may be able to cope differently, but it will always be there. So you just have to learn that we can't necessarily focus so much on the triggers because the triggers will always be there. And just when you think you're over it, guess what? Here comes another one and another one. So we just now have to figure out better ways in which to handle those triggers.
Well, I just want to, again, thank you guys for coming on the show. We've run out of time. I want to encourage the audience to check out your website, Weight Broke the Wagon. Also, they're on Facebook, Weight Broke the Wagon. And I'm going to be giving away some copies. It's an e-book. You can read it on your Kindle so you can carry it wherever you're going. You don't have to worry about taking up space in your pocketbook. It's a good Christmas gift for people in your life to see three different women from three different backgrounds all dealing with weight issues and how they overcame them and still working on them. It's an ongoing process. Being healthy is a full-time job. I don't think anybody just does it once and then, okay, you're done and you don't have to worry about it. Every day you have to, you know, just be mindful of what you're eating. And every day take a moment of time for your health. What better thing to do than take a moment of time, taking a walk, even walking. You don't need equipment. You don't need money. You can walk. If you can't walk, maybe there's something wrong with your leg, you can move your arms. You can get 3-pound weight, 5-pound weight, move your arms. If you're still having difficulty, talk to your primary care physician. Hey, I want to, you know, exercise, but I'm having these difficulties. My knees are hurting or my elbows are arthritis. What can I do? Maybe I can get some PT. There's something that you can possibly do. And then, again, being mindful of your eating. Thank you so much, Gina, Tosh, and Rayanne, for coming on today.
You're so welcome. Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys have a great Saturday.
Thanks, you too.
All right,
okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, again, for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, tag me on Instagram. Again, I'm giving away some copies of the book. Next Saturday, I'm speaking with astrologist Samuel Reynolds, and we're wrapping up the year. That's next Saturday, December 14th, 11 a.m. Eastern. You guys have a great Saturday.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.